Our culture says, if it feels good, do it. So, does having a desire mean it's always okay to satisfy it? No, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater because you feel like it. While we all have desires, the Christian satisfies those desires in godly ways. Today, how to live for Christ in a world that's focused on pleasures. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer turns our attention to 1 John chapter 2 for more insights on pleasure, life on empty.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you sense the antagonism here? Two loves. We shouldn't love the world because of what it is. Secondly, we shouldn't love it because of what the world does. Because of what the world does. And now we begin to really unpack what John has in mind. Now we begin to get convicted. What are those snares that we've talked about? We've asked that we not fall into the snares, into the pits that we've been speaking about. Well, notice this. It says, verse 16, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. What are the snares? First of all, the lust of the flesh, which my translation says, the craving of sinful man. The craving of sinful man. Now, you and I were born with certain desires. We were born with a desire to eat. We were born with a desire to drink because we become thirsty. We are born with a desire to sleep, and sexuality and all those desires are a part of who we are. But you see, the temptation now is to take these desires, these cravings, and to satisfy them in ungodly ways. And that's why we read here that the cravings of men are sinful. You see, our desire to eat can become gluttony. Our desire for water to slake our thirst can become alcoholism, or our weariness can become laziness, and our sexuality can become immorality. And that's what the cravings of sinful flesh are. You say, well, have I ever had those cravings? Listen to this list of sinful cravings. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, there you go, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There you have a pretty complete list, but Paul was afraid he might even leave some out and says, things like these. Wow. And you see, because these cravings desire, that they promise happiness, you see. We're tempted to find pleasure in all the wrong places, the place that leads us to emptiness. Now we need to hurry on. The lust of the flesh, notice the lust of the eyes back here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. The lust of the eyes. There is such a thing as eyes having an appetite. We've heard the expression, feast your eyes on this. Feast your eyes on this. We want to have this appetite, and it may refer to even the finer things of life. I mean, it could be art, it could be works of art, it could be nature, it could be going to an opera, it could be all kinds of things. You say, well, is that sinful? Well, in a moment I'm going to answer that question. Not right now, but you need to hang on. The simple fact is that the lust of the eyes also may refer to covetousness, where we desire that which is not ours, and therefore our desires are never, never fulfilled, because we mistake the cure for the real cause of the problem, and the cause is within our hearts. So you can see here that there refers to the lust of the eyes. Thirdly, the boastful pride of life. And this is certainly one of the snares we don't even see. We don't see ourselves as boastful just because we want the things of this world. We don't see ourselves as prideful just because we judge others so quickly when they fall into sin and have that good, smug feeling that we would never do that like the Pharisees did. You see, that's the kind of thing that only God can show us. Now, what's wrong with all these things? Let me give you a couple of ideas here. First of all, because they make the same promises as God, remember. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, they're all shouting this way to happiness, this way to pleasure. We are where it's at, where it's at. God is the only one who has a right to make a promise like that. You come unto me and you will be filled, said Jesus. You come and you drink from me the living water. Jesus, you are the one who fulfills our desires, the lust of the flesh. The world comes along and says, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it. And you and I are so tempted to believe and to try. That's the first thing. It makes the same promises as God. Secondly, it detracts us from God, the world does. Now here we come to some, quote, innocent pleasures. Somebody says, well, there certainly is nothing wrong with sports, is there? There's nothing wrong with watching the Bulls or the Cubs or the Bears and these other animals that we have sometimes running around in various contexts. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I want all of you to listen as if you've never heard me speak for the first time, because this is so, so critical. I don't believe that the devil minds whether it is sports, whether it is even something terrible like the addictions that we've talked about. He isn't that concerned as to what it is. Doesn't care what it is. As long as these things absorb our attention and take the place of God. And even the good pleasures in life do that remarkably well. They squeeze out God. They do. And that's the problem with pleasure. The pleasures we're talking about. Is that they seek to become a substitute for God. And if you still have not found a substitute for God, what you'll do is you will crowd your life with this busyness. Somebody gave me the book this week on putting first things first. We will crowd our lives with so much busyness, and the devil doesn't mind that either. It can be busy doing good things as long as God is not the one who is primarily loved and adored and who does not meet the deep desires of our heart. It doesn't matter what it is that's in his place. You know, when my wife and I were in Eastern Europe one time, when some Christians were told that in America, you have refrigerators that actually work. You know, you can plug them in and they'll work. And you can depend on them. In some of those countries, you don't have refrigerators that work and the electricity goes off so often that there isn't. And in America, you don't have to stand in line for 2 or 3 hours to get a loaf of bread as you do. At least when we were in Eastern Europe, in some of the countries, that's what you did. Everybody, we are told, stood in line for up to 2 to 3 hours a day to get basic necessities. You don't have to do that in the United States. We get upset when there are 3 people ahead of us in a line of Jewel. And some of us almost have a fit when we miss a turn of a revolving door. And as they began to explain all of the conveniences of America, these Christians said, that is so wonderful. That must mean that American Christians have so much time to study the Bible, to pray, and to evangelize. That's wonderful. So that's what's happening in America. No, the more conveniences we have, the more places we can go, the more money we can spend on ourselves, the more options we have out there, and we cram our lives with everything except God. And that's the deceptive, you see. That's the snare. It isn't just the bad things out there that we instantly recognize as sinful. They're out there and they're terrible. But it's the good things that have taken God and not made him the center of our existence and our joys. That's the problem. You say, well, can we enjoy nature? Of course. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. We can enjoy the beauty of nature. We can enjoy the beauty that He made of music, the beauty of it. But as believers, you see, we enjoy it in relation to God. All of those things help us to worship, to remind ourselves that this just didn't happen. This is God's gift, you see. But if God isn't a part of it, the devil does not care what we do as long as our joy is not in God. Number one, we learn that there are two loves, and one of the reasons why we should not love the world is because of what it is. It's antagonistic to God. Secondly, there are two promises we've been talking about, the promise of the world and the promise of God. And because of what the world does, we should not love it. Thirdly, because of where the world is leading, because of where it's going. And now we're in verse 17. You'll notice that the text says very clearly here that the world is passing away, and all of its desires, all of its lusts, but he that does the will of God abides, he lives forever. This was D.L. Moody's favorite verse, by the way. That the one who does the will of God abides forever. The world and its lusts is passing. Now listen, to those of you who have never received Christ as Savior, and I'm also speaking to those of you who think you have but haven't. Listen carefully. If you are really absorbed by the world, I encourage you to enjoy it with all the enthusiasm you can, no matter how empty it eventually becomes. Go for it, because this is the best you're ever going to get. This is it. Everything after here is terrible. Everything after death is disaster and separation and condemnation. So if this is the only world for which you are living, you might just as well live it up. Though actually you are dying it down. But go for it.
I want to say that it's not only true that in eternity Christianity will pay off. I think it's very important that we understand that even in this life, serving God is worth it. Just for the sense of self-fulfillment, the lack of guilt, the joy that the blessed Holy Spirit of God brings into our hearts. This is Pastor Lutzer. One of the desires that I have is to help all of us to have a passion for Christ that is much greater than our passion for the world. As a matter of fact, I don't think that we will ever give up our sins unless our love for Christ and our joy in Christ is greater than the pull of the world. And that takes cultivation, it takes development, it takes discipline, because our love for Christ does not come naturally. The other day I was waiting in a waiting room for my car, actually, in a garage to have an oil change, and I had taken with me the Gospel of John. And while I was waiting, I read chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, and meditated on some of those verses. It's amazing what that did, just those few minutes. Well, more than a few minutes, actually. But it's amazing what the Word of God did in my heart that day. That's the way we develop a passion for Jesus that is greater than our passion to sin.
That was Erwin Lutzer with part two of Pleasure, Life on Empty, another message in a series on Seven Secret Snares. Tomorrow, final thoughts on what real pleasures are all about. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in the book Seven Snares of the Enemy by Dr. Lutzer. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.